Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 94, and I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me today is King Baby Duck Evan of the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches. Thank you for having me on again, as usual, and I hope all of you listeners out there enjoyed the five-part top 100 albums of 2006 to 2015 that we just finished up with. That was a lot of work that we had to do.
Woo! Back to non-working shenanigans now.
Yes.
And also with us today, we have John of Dirty Issues Gaming.
It's just Dirty Issues. Hi.
Oh, it's just Hi. Dirty. Oh, I didn't
Hi.
Know.
Hi. You may call me John or Jack. I go by Taka on the Dirty Issues. I love my real name in real podcasts. That's great.
So. Many identities.
Sure. Hey. Yeah, well, John is actually Jack, if you think about it.
It is?
John Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, yeah. It's they even have it in Jack's films.
I never knew that. Never,
Man,
ever.
Never knew that.
And finally with us from Scarlet Rhapsody, we have Jared the Greek.
Hey, everyone. Jared the Greek here. Love, first time on the show, actually. So I was about to say I love being on this show, and I realized like, this is my first time.
Yeah, it is.
You're not on my show.
Yeah, we've recorded
so many
times.
Yeah, I'm used to be on
times.
No Borders, No Race or Anime Jam Session, and so it's cool being with Wicked Anime for the first time.
I know, we've recorded so many times together, but you've literally never been on our show before.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some great debates today.
Yes!
All right, and today for we have a pretty bare bones show. It seems like it's just news what we're watching, and then our topic. But our topic today is like super awesome. We from a fan Evan of the non King Baby Duck variety sent us a question that I'll get into later when we reach it. But it's something to think about, and I think people are going to have some interesting thoughts, very differing thoughts. So. In regular Wicked Anime fashion, first we need to ring the news bell.
News.
Evan, you threw a slew of media news my way within the past couple weeks, and the first one that hit us, which I don't really know how to feel about, which they're coming out with a second season of that exercise anime. Remember exercise or what was it? Exercise de anime.
Anime the training or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, anime de training. Where it was just like probably the cheapest animation that you could get, where it's just looping over and over again of cute anime girls, most likely underage, doing regular workouts. And it's like, count to 10 with me. 1, 2. Oh, this is so hard. And then there's like.
Like doing stretches and stuff?
Yeah.
Do push-ups with anime characters?
Yes.
Literally that.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, man. The first season's on Crunchyroll if you haven't seen it.
Is that the wrestling one?
No. It's not the wrestling one.
I love that video. I would have to say I love your video. That video of the wrestling one when you're just covering, I think it was the first episode. I love your editing style, I would have to say, because it's just so erratic and it definitely caught myself laughing a lot. So.
Oh, thanks.
I love the fact that there's essentially Wii Fit the anime, and I want to believe that there's like otaku, two types of otaku. The type who are like, oh my gosh, cute anime girls are working out. I shall work out too. And the, oh my gosh, cute anime girls are working out. This is like free gravier. Sweet.
I do have to say, I feel a lot more comfortable watching the Wii U Fit trainer working out than these anime girls, though. I guess I'm
because
not
at least the Wii Fit trainer looks of age.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's in shape.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like that maybe that would be something for for later review, because I can't believe I didn't even imagine that a show like this would be good enough to get a second season. I know that this show in particular is a branch of a certain series of shows. One of the characters in the show actually has a short anime series about her, where it's just like, you know, she just does things and you watch her do random things, like she cooks a meal or cleans the house or takes a bath or whatever like that, and you can just like
literally takes a nap in one episode.
Yeah, it's really a grab your show. I don't know. It's but like a second season that I never would.
You know, I'm actually kind of surprised that they did get a second season after reading about all these like injuries that so many viewers had while watching this show, because I was going online and I saw, you know, forums specifically for this anime, and every single one of them they were talking about having the exact same injury over and over and over again.
Carpal tunnel syndrome?
I was going to say, they always were talking about how they pulled their groin while watching this series.
There you have it, folks. There you have it. You beat me to the punch. I was going to make a joke about that.
It's like, I watched
arthritis from the wrist.
I pulled my groin while watching that.
Hey, that's actually
like, wow,
possible.
You need to stretch more, sir, before watching this exercise anime.
Got to be in shape, man. You got to be in shape. Go the distance.
Gonna get swollen that left arm.
Gonna be like that guy and lady in the water.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on to some more serious news. How about some serious business? So next up in media news, this one's actually kind of gaming news too, which it should be. I don't know what section to bring it in, but it's about one of the new anime shows this season, and it's really good. New game that like yes. it's a great anime. But they're actually developing a game based off of the game that they're making in the show. So a new game is about an anime about a game studio. It's not to the depth of a show like Shirobako, which is amazing. Everybody should watch it. But it's more of like a moe blob. But they're actually legitimately making a game in the show. And now Japan is producing the game that they're making, which is Fairies 3. Which I don't know whether or not it's going to be the third game in the series or they're just going to make it the first one. But it seems to me like they're actually making assets in Maya and they're legitimately putting out the Fairies game that they're making in the show, which I think is awesome. That's a great PR stunt, if you ask me.
Because when I was reading the story, it looked like it was going to be like one of those games within a game sort of thing. Like it takes place within the world of New Game, but then you can also jump into the actual game that they're creating.
Really? So you're going to be able to play both sides of the world then. Interesting.
See, that sounds way less interesting to me. I'd rather just play the game they made.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's me.
Because, well, no, I agree with you, Jared, because the reason is say you're playing the game, and then you come across one of the NPC characters in the game, which is like the main character that it focuses on. It's like her first job, and she's just joining the studio, and she's making NPC characters. And so, like, you say you're playing the game, and you come across the NPC character, and you're like, oh, wow, I actually watched them make that character on the show. But when you have the other side of the world in the game, it's like, oh, well, I just watched that character make it. It's like, completely attached, you know? Yeah. So it seems like it's a little less exciting. I don't know.
We'll have to see how it's going to turn out because it comes out in January, I believe.
It's pretty close.
Okay, so it's not too long to wait then. You know, the one thing you don't want in a game is to be taken out of the game. And it's very hard to do the enjoying the game and then go out of that game world kind of thing. I think the one series that's done it decently well is Assassin's Creed. But for the most part, I don't... Like, I'm not a huge fan of the .hack games because I don't like feeling like I'm playing people playing an MMO. I just want to play that MMO.
Yeah, right. It's a good point.
I'm kind of going to disagree with you on the Assassin's Creed aspect because I hate the parts of Assassin's Creed where you're in the present day stuff. I only like the parts where you're in the past. Whenever it goes into the present day for me, it like slows down the game completely.
Oh, no, I didn't say it was a good thing. I don't like those sections either. I'm saying that it feels more seamless than, you know, a game where it's like, okay, hang out and do some visual novel stuff with the characters from the anime, now go play the game. That would just be a little more weird for me than just playing the game.
That's a good point.
It's a little too weird, in my opinion, to see that when it's a dual-layer game or they try to do too much in a game. And they don't focus. It's like if they add more things, like No Man's Sky, they add tons and tons and tons of things and tons of planets. But, all right, well, is there story? How's it going to progress? Are you focusing too much on creating things for it and not focusing on the actual, I guess, experience, more or less, as you as the character, instead of saying, we have tons of stuff? That's a little blown out proportion kind of idea. But if they focus on trying to do two things at once, trying to create the real world, the animus or whatever it is inside the actual world, you know, just like Evan says, you get taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up in media news, though, how about this? Evan, you tagged me in this post on Facebook about Willem Dafoe joining the cast of the live-action Hollywood Death Note movie, and he's going to be playing Ryuk.
It's going to be so amazing.
Yeah, because he looks just like him.
Talk about perfect casting. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I was psyched when I heard that.
The only thing that honestly could have been better is Gary Busey.
hey, they still need someone to play Rem. Gary Busey is Rem.
I can see Gary Busey as Rem.
That would be insane. Yeah, no, it's a Hollywood movie, but it's made for Netflix, so it's going to be coming. So sorry, Stranger Things, you might be dethroned.
Yeah, hey, has there been any other casting choices for that movie that we've heard of in, I don't know, like 5 years?
Zac Efron.
It really is still Zac Efron?
Oh, no,
it's like I'm Zac just Efron. Bullshitting you.
Okay, I was just, see, that's what I was asking, because that's the last thing I heard about it, was that Zac Efron was
in. Oh, wait a minute, life. Actually, there is an actor that I do believe I heard news, I read something, where they did choose Light Yagami.
Gary Busey?
No, they chose the actor for Light Yagami, and he's like, maybe around 17 or 18 year old kid. I don't know what other movies he's been in, but I do remember I can picture his face in my mind.
I have him right here. His name's Nat Wolff. He was originally part of the Naked Brothers Band on Nickelodeon.
You're
kidding. Oh, great. Boy, can't wait. Can't wait.
Wow. Talk about breaking out of childhood stardom.
we all know how well those Nickelodeon stars do on regular movies. Yeah. Red Dawn.
Well, he was also Isaac in The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, I love that movie.
Did you just make a Red Dawn reference to Josh Peck?
Yep.
That movie was terrible. I can't believe that for casting choices, they're like, oh, Chris Hemsworth is in this movie. But no, we're going to pick Josh Peck to be the football star.
And also Tom Cruise's son. So it's Tom Cruise's son, Josh Peck, and Thor. Red Dawn. They're gonna save us all.
Gotta save my girlfriend. Oh, that ruined everything. That was in the movie. Spoilers, by the way. I don't care. Screw you. so going on, keep going with these movies. This one's not Hollywood, but we actually got this piece of news from our Wicked fan, Mike, that there was a newly announced CG movie in the style of, like, a Square Enix film. It looks like one of the Resident Evil movies too, or not like one of the CG Resident Evil movies that I don't know if there's ever been a good one. And then like Final Fantasy Advent Children, but they're making one for Gantz, and it's called Gantz.
That one actually looks good. It looks great. I actually saw a couple clips of it.
How is this the first I'm hearing of that?
I don't know. You call yourself an anime fan? Pshaw.
Okay, hang on. In all fairness, Gantz really sucks. And I can say that because I read all 325 chapters of it.
I'm so sorry. Wow. I'm so sorry. It was one of those series where I used to do a horror and, you know, gore type manga panel.
Yeah.
And I always talked about how great Gantz was to a certain point, and then I had to stop. I had to take it out of my panel because it got so dumb and so bad.
Didn't it?
And I was like, I can't promote this to anyone. I stopped reading. I feel so sorry that you actually finished it.
Yeah. I had to. I was.
Let's listen to everything that this big giant black ball has to say.
Well, no, hey, that's the good part of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, once they get away from that, and then it involves the alien race that is like a whole bunch of giants that take over the world, and they start abducting all the human race, and like suddenly everybody can start seeing the aliens and these giant like 20 story tall aliens that are also wearing the black suits are fighting the Gantz people, and suddenly the Gantz people become heroes. And then, and there's everybody's naked at the end. Like, everybody is naked. So if you like nudity a lot,
that.
you know, read it. But like, oh, it just got so convoluted at the end. Like, 100 chapters to fight one monster is, like, a lot for anybody who, yeah. Which, actually, I want to bring up, because I feel like this movie takes place during, like, the movie itself, if you watch the trailer, is the arc where they're fighting the 100-point value monster. And it's, like, and it's like that span of episodes where it's 100 points because the main character is not K. It's the dude with long hair. I forget his name because it's been like years since I've read the series.
Yeah, who's played by Daisuke Ono in the film, by the way.
Yeah, I actually think, though, that it looks cool. Like, if it's just a movie, like an hour and a half, I will absolutely tolerate it because it is going to be a gore fest.
Yes.
So I'll put the trailer into the description to this episode if y'all want to watch. Check it out. If you've never read Gantz, don't even bother. Who cares? Just, like, even the anime was terrible. Like, when they took the turn that didn't happen in the manga, and, like, they made up the ending with the weird crazy guys who were terrorists and whatever. Oh, it was bad.
I showed my friends Gantz Abridged. And it stops at a certain point. It's like, all right, now it's time for the story arc where I do this, this, and this. Actually, the next set of episodes is filler. What? And it's just, that's where it ends. It's like the end of the Abridged series.
Giving up on Gantz is like me. I was, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I was a huge Naruto fan.
You gave up on Naruto?
I did.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm one of the biggest Naruto fans. And, you know, I'm like, enough is enough. I'm like, Musashi Kishimoto, Studio Period. I'll be like, go fuck yourself. Seriously, let's end the goddamn anime. Stop with the fillers. I don't know why. It's like, I actually thought that they were going to create a separate anime series for Itachi. But I'm like, you have really? You created a fake our new poster. I'm like, oh, can't wait. And all of a sudden, no, that's just a slide for the fillers that we have in here because we want to drag it out as soon as possible. It's like, don't drag it out. Create more content. Be like One Piece. That's why One Piece is number one and you're number two. It's like, for crying out loud. I'm like, I'm waiting for it. It's fucked up. The game came out at the start of the year, and you already get to see the ending of the anime, and the anime hasn't even ended. The anime was slated to end last year.
Okay, that's just tragic. I gave up.
They're just going to drag it out for years, dude. It's going to be like The Simpsons. Yeah. It's going to be like The Simpsons. It's never going to go away.
The girl that I dated, I just, you know, you're never going to change. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, look, I gave up on Naruto, and I even gave up at Bleach at specific points, which a lot of people did give up at those specific points. And I stopped watching the anime a long, long time ago for both those series. I gave up on the manga after I gave up on the anime.
You know when I gave up on Bleach was when they were trying to save Rukia in like during I think the second season.
Oh wow!
Wow, that's early.
I gave up on that because it just dragged.
Yeah, it totally did. 5 years
ago. I was like, this is not what I'm like. I'm sorry, this show. This is not what I signed up for when I started watching this show. I'm done. Yeah. This is boring the crap out of me.
I made it at least to the bounce, and then the bounce was enough for me.
I'm wondering how long I'm going to last with Hunter x Hunter. There's going to be a point where I'm going to be watching Hunter x Hunter where I'm just going to give up. I know it's going to happen.
I thought it was over. I thought it ended.
Well, it ended in Japan, but I'm watching it on Adult Swim right now.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Well, at least it's not going to pull a Duradura and come out with season two, and it's just season one all over again told differently.
You mean Durara?
Durara, yeah.
Yeah, Durara.
It looks like I tried watching season two. I was so excited. And they just start telling the story all over again. I'm like, well, huh? I love that anime. And at that time when I was watching Cycle Pass and Durara, and I love those shows. And I'm like, you know, it's just time to move on. It's like, I like short-lived series like Erased. Erased, in my mind, Erased is the number one anime I have ever watched because it didn't drag on forever. It told a specific story from start to end, and it was magnificent.
Oh, yeah. You'll be hearing a lot more about that show at the end of the year when we do our annual wikis.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. So, lastly, I have one more media piece, and then we move on to some gaming and strange news. So for media, to end it off, You guys have obviously heard about the TV adaption, American TV adaption, live-action Sword Art Online, yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Why? Yes. TV?
Yeah, live action TV adaptation.
It's CW probably, right?
Oh my god.
Only on the CW, Sword Art Online.
There is a glimmer of hope, and I asked the people, our fans, on Facebook what they thought about it, and there were some people said that, like, it was pretty mixed. They were like, it could be 50-50, you know, yeah. it could either be ruined completely, or it could be okay. There is a chance that it could be okay, because statistically speaking, the anime was good. Like, the anime was really good. It was a lot of fun to watch, especially the first season.
Season one is great, yeah. Season one is great. But the thing is, you have to think about it in terms of... Because when we first saw it, or when I first saw it, I'm like, holy shit, this is like what we're building right now with VR. And I wanted to be so much a part of that. I want that. And then all of a sudden everything crashes and they get stuck there. And it's like, oh, crap. I'm happy that they're making a live action one, but man, it's just,
how long can it last for?
Yeah, they should just,
how long can you drag it out?
It should just be
alone. Depends what you want to do with the show.
Just focus on the first season. Do not go to the fairies. Do not go to the guns, because it's called Sword Art Online. They're only selling it based on the people know the franchise. They know the character.
Now, if it was Gun Sword Art Online, maybe that'd be much
Gunkata.
Yeah, then it would be then it would be Final Fantasy VIII. And we don't want that.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, for me, I mean, it's cool that they're adapting a show like Sword Art Online. But honestly, I feel like they picked the wrong anime. Specifically one that's going to take a lot of liberties. They're going to be changing a lot of things. Specifically, like, characters and such. They're going to Americanize a lot of things. In all honesty, they should have chosen an anime property where they really wouldn't have to do that. In fact, I don't think they would have to do that at all. Like, the characters are already, like, already have, like, English, like, names and everything. And in all honesty, I feel like instead of Sword Art Online, they should have went with something like, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Because I feel like that's a show that would be better suited for an American adaptation, or at least an English language adaptation.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if the numbers were the same for Danmachi as it was for SAO.
Yeah,
and because I mean, Sword Art Online literally exploded, and if I would say that if they want to do anything, it would be Attack on Titan, because people were comparing Attack on Titan to the epicness of Game of Thrones at the time, and then they were also saying that, you know, well, first off, there's a lot of Western characters in the show, at which
German
they made
characters,
yeah. Yeah, and which they made a Japanese version of it, which everybody in the show was Japanese, and they messed everything up there, which it was their own country's property, and they messed it up in the live-action versions. Like, Mikasa and Eren were dating in the first movie when it started. It doesn't make any sense.
Weird. No.
And, like, you know, we're getting the game in America, like the PS4, Xbox game in America, which is far beyond anything we've ever seen before, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is it any good?
I've seen people playing it. I haven't played it myself yet, but,
Hamsterman 2049 from Electric Sisterhood can vouch that the game looks fantastic.
It does look good, and I've seen a lot of the, you know, character trailers and gameplay.
And he's played it too.
I would say that if you like the style of Koei Tecmo games, like the ones that are like Fist of the North Star or Dynasty Warriors, more specifically.
The Musou, you know, games, yeah.
Yeah, then, Musou games, there you go. Then you're going to like this one.
So, thumbs up Sword Art Online, big thumbs down to its copy, Log Horizon, right?
I don't know, I've heard things about Log Horizon that is really good, and not to mention it was first.
But getting back to the subject of an American adaptation of Sword Art Online, here's the thing, you could completely deviate from the anime completely, keep the game, come up with completely new people playing the game, give them new problems to deal with.
Perfect.
I mean, I'm a script writer.
Sold.
I that's how I would approach it, because, look, whatever I do, just hypothetically, I'm the writer of the show. Whatever I do, people are going to compare it to the original. So if I try to retell the original, people are like, well, I could just watch the anime, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, create
a new,
entire different story.
Oh, this character's Americanized, and he's no longer Japanese, and this and that. But if I just make a new world, a new story, but it's at games, you see the design of the armor, the design of the weapons, you know that, and you go, oh, I know what all this stuff looks like. We reference towns and items and creatures, but it's a whole new story, a whole new characters. You can no longer crap on me for whitewashing the entire show.
Yeah, that actually sounds.
That's
that actually
a good
sounds
idea.
Like a very simple thing to do too. You know, like it's that wouldn't be a hard task. But speaking of the writer, I do have info on who's writing it. Her name is Leta Kalogridis. Oh man, that's like a really Greek name. Later,
all right.
Yeah,
I totally support this writer.
She's the script writer of the show, and she has penned drafts of James Cameron's Battle Angel Alita movie and also the Ghost in the Shell film. So she's done that. She's done those so far. She has those under her belt. And she's saying that she was also a scriptwriter for the Avatar films and Terminator Genesis. Now,
Never mind. I take my vote of confidence back.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
We haven't seen Ghost in the Shell yet, and let alone we haven't seen Battle Angel Alita. But I've also heard that Terminator Genesis is really good. Like,
yes,
honestly, I've
yes,
heard that
it is.
I've seen it. It's a movie.
You gotta accept it as... This, don't take it seriously. This is it's so bad it's good, or even good. You gotta understand, it's never gonna be Terminator 2. You gotta think about it, it's like Crank 2, or a retelling more or less, and it's cool to watch.
The Terminator is on Social Security!
Here's the thing about Terminator Genesis. If I want to sit down and watch a Terminator that's so bad it's good, I'll watch Salvation, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, that's a really bad movie, but I actually enjoyed Genesis because I felt that they created kind of like an alternate timeline where there's so many cool things that you could think about it. Maybe it could have been acted better. Maybe there are certain elements of the story could be better, but the concept itself is awesome.
Yes, I like the concept of that.
Robot arthritis.
But the thing about that concept is that was done better in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah,
which I highly recommend.
There we go.
I love that show, and stars a Game of Thrones character.
Yes, yeah, it's Cersei. Cersei is Sarah Connor, and Khaleesi is. But the thing is, they time travel, but you're still experiencing Sarah, like the Terminator meeting Sarah Connor. When she's a mom, and this is a female Terminator from Serenity, but the fact that a whole Terminator Genesis spoiler, the Terminator goes back, because a Terminator goes back earlier to Sarah Connor when she was a girl, and the Terminator 800 goes and saves her as a child, and then trains her from a child all the way to, so she's an even bigger badass than Linda Hamilton, and the fact that he stays there, she goes into the future, she meets up with him when he's an old robot, and then they fight against people, and John Connor is a bad Terminator. That's badass. Just saying, it is badass.
That's what killed the movie for me, was the John Connor reveal. That
boo hoo! things will never be the same.
Doesn't matter. They're not doing the sequels anyways. But
no. What ruined it is the fact that they ruined it in the trailer.
I did enjoy Genesis to an extent, so I'm not hating on the movie. I didn't like that one reveal, but I enjoyed it for what it was and what they were trying to do. I liked it in concept, but the things that were most interesting to me were the things I didn't show. What was Arnold doing for that 20 years when he sent them into the future? That would have been interesting to see. And Arnold with, baby Sarah Connor would have been really awesome to see as well. So
the parts
I was most
totally
interested
agree.
In, they didn't show me. I liked Kyle meeting young Kyle. I thought that was a cool little moment. And things like that. I mean, there's things I really did like in that movie. There's a lot of things I didn't like in that movie. And for me, it's very mixed. And that's why, for me, if I'm going to go and watch one for cheesiness sake, I'll watch Salvation. Because at least, God, so many jokes out of Salvation.
Yeah, it's
pretty
bad.
Or even if I have enough booze, T3. I'll watch the Terminator 3. If I have just enough alcohol, I can
I liked T3.
Oh,
I liked T3.
Shame
well.
On you, sir. Shame on you.
No, shame on
no,
you.
That was
shame.
Bad. That
no
was shame. Bad.
T3
is bad. 7 of 9 is the Terminator that has even more stuff than T-1000. That's awful. And the fact that she's rolling around killing the scientists that are, and the fact that John Connor is like a druggie and he's hopped up on like ketamine and it ends that way.
John Connor has seen some crazy shit beforehand.
Yeah,
so.
I'm fine with John Connor being a drug addict.
Yeah, and
actually.
Also the guy
that
playing John Connor is a piece of shit. So that's my opinion. But hey, let's lift our spirits up and talk about the live action Pokemon movie.
Say what?
Live action Pokemon movie starring Detective Pikachu. Not Ash, Detective Pikachu.
You're not talking about the porn parody of Pokemon Go.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not. Hollywood is actually, due to the overwhelming popularity of Pokemon Go, they are making a Pokemon live-action movie. It's hysterical how they're going to call it live-action. A Pokemon movie starring Detective Pikachu, who only can say Pika Pika, but he's going to be in CG, but it's called live-action.
Hashtag Danny DeVito for Pikachu.
Hashtag Hollywood so yellow. Get it? Because Pikachu's
yellow.
Yeah,
I guess Pikachu's yellow. Yeah, got it.
Calm down, all right? I love
you. There's no political correctness on the show. Anyways, where we were before was Sword Art Online, and the scriptwriter, very influenced by Sword Art Online in all of her writing. So, I don't know, when she takes on the actual property that influenced all of her work, we'll see how it goes.
Just one last final point on that one. It's a TV series, so there's a lot more room to flesh stuff out, and that might be a huge bonus in her ability to tell a story.
Indeed. So, real quick in gaming news, I wanted to highlight the awesomeness that is the re-release of the rather large flash drives that are Nintendo and Sega original systems that have like 60 classic games on them. I really want to get these. I don't know about you guys.
I want to get the Nintendo ones, but I've seen the Sega ones that have been out for a while. And from our buddy, the DCD from in the gaming journalism realm, he says the Sega ones are really shitty. You're better off actually just buying a refurbished Sega Genesis and a few games with it than getting that.
I still have mine. I still have my Sega Genesis, and it still works.
I do, too.
The reason why... See, for me, personally, the reason why I like them so much is because I have a 5-year-old brother, and I want to introduce him to that stuff. And I can't really get... You know, mine is dying, so I can't really get it working all the time. So I figured that if I got one of these ones, you know, there would be some really good classic games that I could get him to play, and he could see where I started playing when I was like 3 years old.
I can make you one. I can make you one right now. I can make your own like a Genesis emulator right now with the equipment I have.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I have an emulator, but I mean, like, the controller is probably better for my brother's 5-year-old fingers, and like the keyboard is confusing because there's like...
Oh no! I have USB. USB. I have a USB Super Nintendo controller, so I could just hook that
up. So
do
I, actually. Wonder if we have the same controller.
But, you know, it's a good alternative for now, so maybe get one of those emulators and then save up for a real one.
Yeah, I mean, like, the price tag is really good. I think it's like $40, like $40 to $60 for each one. And for 60 games, not really a bad deal. If it handles...
Especially considering what those games cost back in the day.
Yeah, right.
Or
yeah,
even
yeah.
now.
Six,
oh, yeah. Or now.
$60 a pop.
People are complaining about game prices right now, and they don't understand that, like, when Super Nintendo came out and everything, they were way more than $60.
Yeah, I remember buying Earthworm Jim 2 for $75 on the Sega Genesis.
Great game. Damn. That is a great game.
It is a great game.
I actually have both of my Earthworm Jim copies right next to my bed because I love that series so much, and I still have the box and booklet for both of them.
Nice.
That's it for gaming news. I have one strange news story that has broken my heart. And Evan, once again, it's one that you sent me. And do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
It involves one of our favorite cross-dressing wrestling singers, I take it.
Yes, it does. Lady Beard has left Lady Baby, leaving the two J-pop idols as just a duo. Which means that I would say the band is no more, honestly.
They should just dress in goth. That works. I heard that works and makes people popular.
Hey, by the way, screw you, John Riley, because baby metal is life.
Yep.
You're entitled to your own opinion. So
yes, I am, and it's right.
Yes, I am.
Oh yeah. They also need to make sure that their agents pay very famous heavy metal recording artists to pose with their little flag. That also helps too.
Damn straight it does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fuck Rob Zombie.
No, I only consider us friends.
I don't know if you guys can tell, but all the things I'm saying are jokes. Don't take anything I say seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. I wear a mask for God's sake.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all I really had for strange news because, I mean, man, that's ridiculous. That guy was so famous. Like, did any article say what he's doing now?
Well, he's just still doing the Lady Beard stuff, but solo.
Really? So is he still going to be making music in that case, or is he going to just be, like, a cross-dressing idol?
I have no idea, but all I know is that Lady Beard is still Lady Beard, but I don't know how deep in the music realm that he's going to be, or if he's just going to jump back into the wrestling aspect of stuff.
That is so weird. Like, I see, when I first heard the article, I thought that it was just like, oh, he's just going to move back to Australia and be... a normal guy again, you know, but
get his dignity back.
I don't know, man. He's pretty happy where he is, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
He is.
The money's good. The money's good.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he actually makes a lot more money with the modeling aspect, too. My friend Sawa has run into him a couple times. They're kind of friends and acquaintances. She says that he's a really cool guy, very laid back, always happy to meet fans and such. So there's a chance that he's still going to be doing what he's doing, but just not with Lady Baby.
Does he always dress like a girl?
Whenever we see
When it comes to public events, yes, but odds are in the privacy of his own area, he probably just dresses as a regular dude.
Well, just as long as he's fashionable, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week. You know what, Evan, I and fans, I think that I said this was going to be a pretty bare bones episode, but I think we need a little flavor into it. So I want how about we take a trip over and do a little waifu watch?
Okay.
Everybody has everybody here seen Food Wars?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Has not seen Food Wars. Oh man. Okay, Riley, John, you might have to have to sit back on this one a little bit.
Thanks for saying both my names. Appreciate it.
Taka. What other
just,
one?
No, that's a completely different name. That's fine. Just call me John.
So I want to do some waifu watch, and we're gonna move over into the realm of Food Wars because it's one of my most favorite animes. That's come out in the past couple years. I want to talk about, you know, the waifus and husbandos that have emerged from that show. Now, starting off, who do you think is the most... Who do you think, out of the consensus of everybody who's a fan of the show, who is best girl?
Nikumi.
Not your opinion. You think it's Nikumi?
Yeah, Nikumi.
Okay, so Andrew... that is Andrew's waifu from that show, for sure. It is definitely Nikumi.
Then we will fight to the death to see who will claim Nikumi for their own.
Oh, you better believe that Andrew will defend his dark skin girls. I've always been a fan of Megumi. Megumi has been my favorite. I like the timid girls, and you know in the part of the series where her cooking actually finally shone through, and she became kind of a badass herself, kind of pushed it over to the top for me. She's my favorite,
especially when she goes full blown JoJo in the second season.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was great. The fact that she found her own self-confidence in that, so good. I found a statue of Megumi at the last anime Boston I went to. It was one of the only pieces of swag that I bought. And it's funny because it's not like the typical anime fashion suggestive pose statue or anything like that. It's just you know, her standing there with a ladle and in her chef uniform. Nothing suggestive or anime about it at all. Jared, do you delve in the realm of waifus or husbandos at all?
I do, but, like, honestly, I haven't watched Food Wars in a while because I moved across the country, and I just didn't catch up, sadly. So my brain's kind of like, what was the name of that? The bitch with the huge boobs. Because, like, that would probably be the one I'd go with.
Yeah, if it's the bikini top that you're talking about, then that would be Nikumi. But
I'm not going to fight for you guys over who gets to have her. You guys can, because no, she has lighter skin than that. It's the other one, I think. But it's been a while since I've watched the show, so my brain is like, I can envision her in my head, but it's like still like foggy, and I'm like, no, I'll stay out of the waifu war on food. I'll stay out of the waifu food wars. I will say this: Do loves me the ladies. Their designs are great. Plus, you're taking in like sexy food times. Hell yes.
Yeah.
I'm a cook, so to me, it's just like.
Talk
yes.
about food porn, right?
That's what I want the response to be when I make someone food.
Yeah, the food in Food Wars is my waifu. That's right.
Yes.
I always felt like that the consensus was on Irina, the god tongue girl. I thought that everybody...
Yes, you know what? Honestly, probably she might be on my list.
I never saw anything for her, but it seemed like everybody did. You know, everybody did.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know she's a little bit on the basic side, but I think she'd be my initial... Until I get back in that series again and I can come up with a proper opinion, I'd probably say her.
Calling all the basic bitches.
I admitted to it, at least.
I always thought that I liked her cousin better. Alice? The white-haired girl. I always liked her better. And I thought that she was a good second choice besides Megumi.
No, I actually think she's my second choice, too, for waifu on Food Wars as well. Perhaps Alice is everybody's second favorite, maybe.
Yeah, that's a very high possibility. Besides the main cast of girls that are set up for Soma's harem, that is like a nearly non-existent side story in the show. Now, to go on to
thankfully.
the males of the show, I gotta say that Soma is probably one of my most favorite main characters of any show that I've ever seen. He doesn't take on the hero aspect of the basic hero's journey character, like in the same way that you see Luke from Star Wars follow, where he's like, I don't know anything at all, so everybody needs to explain it to me. See, Soma knows everything in the show. It's just that he doesn't know it from a technical and professional aspect, because he's just homegrown family restaurant, and he knows everything, but he needs to be told that he knows something. And so, like, he's told that he knows something, and then he's like, oh, okay, I get it. And then he just kills everybody at cooking.
And see, I actually like that trope in anime where it's the guy who doesn't know he knows stuff. I mean, I'm going to throw back to this because I was talking about this show earlier today. Initial D with Takumi. Takumi's a really great expert driver, not because he was trained to be an expert driver, but because his dad just gave him a few rules and forced him to drive all the time. And then they're like, oh, you want to do this? You know how to do this? He's like, I don't know what those words mean, but if you mean I can drive really fast and beat other cars while trying to go downhill, yes, I can do that.
That's awesome.
And I like that for Soma as well, where it's just like, oh, that's what that means? Yeah, I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of trope versus the, I'm just really awesome at basketball because trope, yeah, or something like that. I don't like the I'm awesome at sport because I like Ippo being like, oh, you have the proper build for this, you just don't know the proper technique. And then, you know, that first arc of Ippo where he's learning technique and stuff like that is great and significantly more interesting than let's just have really long drawn out boxing matches, which kind of, I love boxing, but after a while in Ippo, I was just like, I'm good.
Yeah,
he's not
going
to fight his rival. I don't care. I'm moving out. I have other anime. I could go back to Bamboo Blade if I want to watch something that's fluff and stupid. So I'm just going to go to that. Thanks.
Bamboo Blade is great.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
I love Bamboo Blade.
All right, just want to make that clear. As opposed to all the other male characters in the show as well, I feel like that everybody in the show is at least somewhat believable, even though they have some like a minor superpower of sorts. Everything is still based on an actual cooking technique, which I think makes the show more believable, and that has always been a really good aspect of the show, is that you can actually make the things in the show. Like, I know that Evan Panda from Electra Sisterhood tried the fake, what was it, fake pork loaf?
Yeah, the fake pork loaf.
Where it was the mashed potatoes wrapped in bacon, and, like, they made it. You know, they just made it because they were like, oh, hey, it was on the show, let's make it. And they did. And you can do that with this show, even though sometimes it's a little fantastical on some of the things that they do.
You know, at least it's more realistic than Yakitate Japan.
Solar hands!
By the way, when that came out, my friends were like, oh, your hands are always warm. Is that why you're a good baker? I'm like, yes, it totally starts the chemical reactions in food because my hands being 99 degrees is totally a way to ease something into going to an oven that's 350 degrees.
That is that, utterly
that minor
magnificent.
Difference is the huge point there.
Utterly magnificent, yes. I have to say.
Also, when I hold my hands in the air, they glow. So that's also awesome.
But that was from a very tragic chemical waste accident back in the day, so we don't really want to talk about that much. Sorry, Jared. Sorry for bringing up bad memories.
It's also the reason I'm visually impaired. It's really... I just got dicked on the powers.
Yeah.
Damn it. How come Daredevil gets all the cool ones and I just get magical hands?
Daredevil's powers suck if you really look into it, man.
They kind of do.
No, I'm not saying that it's not cool. I'm just saying that, like, man, he got dealt a really bad hand.
He's like Batman. I agree. He's like Batman. He's actually better than Batman. He's like a bat.
Now.
He's like a bat.
Ooh. Now we're fighting. Now we're
because look, he already had the training and the skills to fight, and he already has the brains, but the radar vision helps a little bit for, like, you know, fighting in the dark maybe. But honestly, if he got like super speed or super strength, would have been slightly a better choice than I can see in the dark, sort of.
Yeah. Superman's a pussy. He's got way too much power, doesn't even have to try. Batman and Daredevil actually had to work their asses off to be at the same level.
Daredevil's powers also allow him to cheat in the courtroom because he can tell when people are lying.
That's awesome.
And, you know, Phoenix Wright wishes he had that power. But I think
objection,
in terms
objection
of like fighting Ultron, that's kind of useless. Fighting King the Conqueror is not going to help you much with the lying detection thing.
Yeah. Fans, please let us know, Food Wars, who is your waifu and who is your husbando? We would love to know. Now, let's move on to what we're watching, because we've talked about, for the past two episodes, we've talked about everything that we've been watching in the new summer season. There are quite a few shows that we still haven't watched. The one that I'm going to talk about today is this show that's on Crunchyroll, and it was actually suggested to me to by our wicked fan, Tempsu. And he has anybody heard of the show called Thunderbolt Fantasy?
This is the puppet show.
Yes, it is. It is not an anime. It is a live action puppet show. With like you got to hear me out. It's amazing. Like, it's super bloody and super gory, but they're all like these Japanese Edo period style dolls that they move in such like a gorgeous manner. The sword fighting and the after effects that they use is like top notch tokusatsu after effects. It looks so beautiful. The fighting choreography is amazing. The puppeteering is the best I've ever seen, except for the part in the first episode where like the girl was trying to run away from the bad guys and she jumped off a cliff and it was literally just somebody throwing a puppet over the side of a set, which is hilarious. But like, it's super bloody and gory. Like, there are puppets exploding and getting cut in half by swords and getting limbs cut off and just blood splatter everywhere. It's like, unlike anything I've ever seen before. There's an episode zero where there's a behind the scenes making of where they're actually showing the people doing the puppeteering and the practical effects on there. Like, they actually use smoke machines and wind machines to blow the leaves across the ground. It's gorgeous. Thunderbolt Fantasy. It's free on Crunchyroll. Definitely check it out.
Okay, we may have to stop recording because my brain just crashed and I need to hard reboot my own mind because that just friggin' crashed my brain.
Yeah, I know. When our fan Tempsu brought it to my attention, I just opened it up and I said, "What?" Like, unlike anything we've ever seen before. Incredible.
Okay, I'll have to actually watch that. I know I do. I say that a lot of shows, but this is too weird for me not to see.
I just added it to my queue.
Yeah, just even watch the first five, because they're full half-hour episodes, but, like, watch the first 5 minutes of episode one, not episode zero, but episode one, and you'll be on board completely.
I wasn't on the show last time, so I'm wondering if you guys ever talked about the anime Momokuri.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that actually 2 weeks ago? No, maybe we did talk about it last week. What do you think?
You know, Momokuri was one of those shows that I wasn't exactly 100% sure I was going to like, but then I saw that it was directed by the same guy who did a few episodes of Kaleidostar, and one of my favorite anime comedies of the last decade, Kukure Kukuri-san. So I was like, okay, I'll stick on. I'll see if it's going to be getting any better. And what I like about the show is just how adorably stupid both Momo and Kuri are in the series.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes the show, though, are the friends around them.
Yes, it's like, oh, you know, we should die in a fire or something like that.
Yeah, because I did not like episode one and two. But which where they're split up into 15-minute segments. So there's episode one and two is all chunked into one video, and then three and four is the second video that was released. I watched episode three and four, and I was convinced that the show was great.
Yeah, it's more this. I like the social commentary from the friends because sometimes I've said that kind of stuff under my breath as well.
They are not taking the gross PDA. And the awkwardness of a brand new relationship of people who literally know nothing about each other, but they're still in love for some reason. And, like, the writing is brilliant. The first two episodes were so cliche, and I wasn't sure, and tropey, and I wasn't sure if I was going to keep watching it.
But that's how I felt, too.
I gave it till episode three and four, and they introduced the side characters, and I was like, this is a must-watch.
But, yeah, I think it's hilarious. Like you said, it's like such a commentary from... You know what? The best way to describe it is how the friends in the show Golden Time should have reacted to Tada and what's her name.
Yeah. I haven't watched it, but I know Andrew would probably agree with you.
Yeah, because I know Andrew hated that show because of that relationship.
Yeah. It was disgusting.
It was disgusting. But I like the show more because of how, like, all right, because I know Kurihara could be, like, has that little stalkery sort of thing. But
Which is funny.
But I like it when you finally bring the two characters together, and you would think that she would just be so full of confidence because she knows everything about Momo because of it. But yet, as soon as they're together, it's like, boop. Brain just went do-do.
She's more comfortable being a stalker.
Yeah.
Which is the hilarious part about it. Like, just the fact that you see her, you know, peering into the classroom where he's learning when she should be in class herself and she's just, like, heavy breathing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, and then her friend is walking down the hall and she's just like, what the hell are you doing? You know? And, like, she's so disgusted by her, yet she's still friends with her.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
This is really wrong. This is just so wrong. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, just really, really interesting writing. A direction I didn't think it was going to take, but...
Yeah, but that's one of the main things I'm watching. I'm watching a lot of other things, too, but I figured I'd bring it over to either Jared or Taka to see if they were watching anything new.
Okay, well, most of the things I'm watching have already completed, so I guess they can't be considered new. And then, of course, I always watch older stuff anyways. Like
It doesn't have to be new, just whatever you're watching.
Okay, well, I've been going back through some of the Lupin specials because I'm going to be at Anime California, and I got to talk about History of Lupin III, so I'm going through some stuff that got released recently and rewatching it just to get it back in my head, including Series 4.
I got to be honest. I'm surprised that you just haven't memorized everything about Lupin III by now, Jared.
There's so much that you just have to... It's one of those things where it's like, do I remember the plot line of this one or that one? Yes. Have I watched it so I could point out jokes or get a clip? Not probably in 2 or 3 years. Right. It's just, you can't, it's like James Bond. I am a huge James Bond fan. The last James Bond movie I watched was Diamonds Are Forever, to mock it. And that was like 3-4 months ago.
My favorite Bond was always Timothy Dalton.
Oh,
Timothy Dalton was my favorite James Bond.
Yes, License to Kill was on our queue list and ended up getting distracted by something.
It's a James Bond pun.
It's a joke. It's a pun. So, yeah, trying to rewatch through Series 4, trying to come up with an actual, like, full-on legit review. I think enough time has passed where I could talk about it at the panel without spoiling it for people. Not that you can really spoil Lupin plot lines. Spoiler, he stole the object and then lost it for some reason.
Can I say, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I feel like Series 4 is, like, the absolute best Lupin series, like, in my, because I've seen series 1, I've seen series 2, I tried to watch series 3 and kind of got bored with it, but series 4 just wowed me from start to finish.
I have issues of series 4, and they're like my aesthetic issues of some of the animation's choppy, some of the music isn't that great. I like the idea and the concept. I like the fact that there's kind of an ongoing plot that is always awesome in my book, and it's a hell of a lot better than a woman named Fujiko Mine, so there's at least that. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Series 2. I like the shenanigans. It's just, you can't marathon Series 2. It's a little bit easier to marathon Series 4 just because there's,
it's
like...
It's not 150 episodes.
That. It's not 155 episodes. So at least there's that. But I mean, I said, other than my minor aesthetic issues, I actually do really enjoy that show. Outside of that, I got into Joker's Game recently. That's kind of fun. Japanese spies.
I didn't like it. I liked it at first.
I like history stuff, so I kind of dig the history aspect. But I'm also not that far into it, so unless it turns to crap at the halfway point or something.
You know. Well, that's the thing about the series. I liked it. How far exactly are you?
Like 3-4 episodes.
Okay. So, from what I can tell, the only real truth, like, meat of the story is the first 2 episodes, and then every consistent episode after that is just, one of the spies does an adventure.
Oh, so it's going to be more of the same after the point I'm watching?
Yes.
Pretty much.
And that was my problem with the series altogether. It's like, why should I even care about who I'm watching? Every single one of these characters does not differ from one another. It's like,
I'll agree with that.
You can't even tell what spy you're watching. One, in the first 2 episodes, you don't even know who they are. You might as well just number them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know? And then when they're on their adventure, you're like, I don't even remember what spy this is. Like, it could just be some guy.
The thing with me is that I remember them by haircut. Which is probably not that good of an option.
Yeah, no, right. And that's the other thing, too. It's like, they're not color coordinated by their suit, so I can't say this one was wearing the red suit in the first episode. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Yes, I'll agree with you on those aspects. When I watch more, I can give a more thorough review. I've seen a little bit of the Weekly Girls show.
Oh, Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun?
That one, yes. Which is fun because those who know me know I have two modes. Really intense passion and, like, super aloof. And when I'm super aloof, I'm very much like Nozaki, and it's creepy to me, and so it's hard to go through that series because I'm like, oh, that's like me being a writer and not knowing what I'm saying to people because I'm asking inappropriate questions that my writer brain does not realize are totally inappropriate.
That was one of the things that I loved about that show so much is that everything that everybody says, like well, you can tell that there was a joke because somebody is completely disgusted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, JoJo. I love Series 4. It does get very fillery, and it does in the manga as well, so it's just the burden of that series is that it's very fillery. The characters dick around a lot, but I really do like the characters in Series 4.
I am like 5 episodes behind on JoJo right now, but that's partially because I'm trying to watch everything in the new season, but also because I think that series should have been 13 episodes, and that's it.
I could agree with that. That was the thing, is when Series 3 came out and everyone was excited for every episode and was following it really closely to the manga, I was like, oh god, Series 4 is going to lose so many people. Because a lot of it is like, hey, let's go to this like Italian restaurant. OMG, guys, I heard about some weird guy down the street who has some sort of strange power. Let's go visit this mangaka. That sounds like fun. You know, it's just like, or we could hunt after the killer. Maybe look for the killer? No?
It should have ended when they beat Chili Pepper. Because I thought that the Chili Pepper episode was, or the two episodes that it was awesome. Like, that was great. And then, like, they could have ended it, like, spoilers, minor spoilers, Joseph Joestar shows up and, you know, he and his son, you know, get together. And then, like, that would have been happy ending.
Yeah, but then, you know, there's stuff like Invisible Baby that we have to deal with that goes nowhere, by the way. That goes absolutely nowhere. Invisible Baby goes nowhere.
Oh, that was awful. It was awful. And you don't have to slit open your wrist in order to make blood.
Yeah. Yes, there are much easier ways. I watched the movie. There's tons of movies that can show you other ways of getting your blood drawn. And, you know, it's you know, the main villain, or when he finally shows up, Kira is a pretty interesting character, and I like his story in the manga. But, again, a lot of his stuff is really grotesque, so at least that's the bonus of his weird fetishes and cutting off hands and stuff like that. But then there's going to be, like, the Highway Star episode, you know, in, like, season 2 of it or whatever, which just goes on, and it really it's no reason for it to be going on so long. And the guy who's hiding in the radio tower when that story happens. So I'm like, this is going to lose so many people, because you go from, like, hey, guys, let's travel around the world beating people up and kick the crap out of this vampire that put, like, a weird, you know, kind of semi-cursed thing on my mom. You know, okay, that's something you can get behind. Series 5. Hey, let's go rescue this. Let's go rescue the mob boss's daughter. Oh god, we were betrayed. It's time to kick a lot of mobster ass. Okay, cool. Series 6. I got wrongfully imprisoned. Let me kick the crap out of everyone in this prison, escape, and then have a really stupid ending that will piss off a lot of people.
No spoilers. I want to see it.
And then Series 7 is, you know, awesome, and I'm not going to spoil that one because God knows if we'll ever even get that animated, but it's because it's so many years down the road. It's just like, oh, it's 2025, finally we've got Series 7, you know.
Yay!
But I'm like, Series 4, man, this is going to make or break the show, because if you can get through Series 4, it's a lot of like nonstop action in 5 and 6, but 4 is a lot of characterization and dicking around. But it's one of those things where I'm like, God, there's going to be so many people who all they want to do is see, you know, Josuke run and punch someone in the face. They're going to want to see stuff like the Chili Peppers fight, like fighting the brothers in the mansion early on. You know, stuff like that is what people want to see. A majority of this, there's an arc where Josuke meets someone whose power is to transform into random objects. And he has the guy transform into dice so he can cheat at playing craps against the mangaka guy. And that is the whole, it is like 10 chapters of him trying to cheat at dice with this other character to make money. You know, it's like, what? Don't we have a killer we're supposed to stop? What is wrong with you? In Araki's defense, he had a point to doing this series, which was kind of making fun of shonen tropes.
Yeah.
Not only because his last series was very shonen tropey, but then he's like, okay, well, let's have super drawn out episodes, but instead of them being about Goku powering up, They're about, let's play dice with no stakes. It's some jackass who can put locks on people.
You know, interesting.
It's all these things that are like, you know, making fun. Let's take the trope of, oh, here's this villain who's so super powerful, but really his power is really stupid. Cough, cough, three shonen series we talked about earlier in this episode, cough, cough. You guys got to go into series 5. I know it's going to be a drag. I know people are going to complain about it. But as soon as we can get the boy band together in series 5, people are going to be totally behind the series again. Going like, yes, let's watch these like super boy band looking dudes use their really weird powers and beat the crap out of mobsters. You know, you get the whole Hitman Reborn crowd jumping in on this. It'll be great.
Yeah.
God, does anyone even remember that series?
I do.
God. Series sucked.
John, what are you watching?
Mob Psycho 100.
Oh, dude, yes. So good, right?
So good, yeah. They have a different writer from One Punch Man. I think One Punch Man is great in the fact that right now I think that they're working on producing second season, but nice, short, and sweet, 12, boom, and then we take a break. It's never an ongoing thing like a lot of animes that I've seen, and also the fact that One being they both derived from webcomics, One Punch Man and Mob Psycho 100, and the fact that Shonen was able to serialize them into a really beautiful-looking manga for Shonen Jump. But the writer for Mob Psycho 100 is Hiroshi Seko, who was the writer for Kill la Kill and a bunch of other very popular animes. But I like it more in fact because, excuse me, from the color that they actually use, I think that their intro is bizarre and crazy and awesome, and the way they do the anime in regards to the animation style, the colors, I mentioned the colors again, but especially when he's using a superpower and it almost comes out like more or less like a rainbow is really great. But I feel that Mob, more or less persona, he's one without with superpowers, because you can definitely tell from the way the character is designed is both One Punch Man or Saitaman and Mob are very much like the author himself. One, because he's very secluded. It's never shown his face. You don't know his name for the sheer fact that he's very private, but he was very embarrassed with his art and nobody liked it until somebody from Shonen Jump, I believe, a very famous artist who was a fan of him, was able to help make this come to light. He's very quiet, and I think that a very quiet kid who has superpowers is what a lot of small people see themselves like. If I only had superpowers, what would my life be? So,
I did, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very enjoyable.
I love its animation style because it's not like anything else that's currently airing in Japan right now.
Yes, it doesn't have to be crazy. It's not even One Punch Man when he gets angry and all of a sudden the super really detailed art comes out. It's just silly. It looks really good.
I like to compare it to the animation style from D.D. Fist of the North Star, the parody version that was out last season.
Okay, I gotta check that out because I hate Initial D's animation. Agreed. I hate Fist of North Star's animation. I feel that it's just so tacky and 80s. And by the way,
that's where it's from.
I hate the 80s.
You can't rip on Fist of North Star for looking.
No, but at least it's from the 80s. Unlike Strange Things, which is a horrible show.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
But the thing is, it's a period timepiece. You can watch, you can go back to it if you want, and everything. No one's really doing that art right now as we speak, because people have moved on to more detailed, different styles. They're trying to fresh it out and become, I don't know, more unique. That's the reason why we have Mob Psycho 100. That's why we have more detailed, really, you know, emotional kind of art that you would see in Erased. And then you have other stuff like you still have. It's so funny that I can't dig on that anime style for Fist of the North Star, Initial D, but I still love the animation style of Dragon Ball.
I hate that you put both of those in the same category. When animated, they look very different. Initial D has that crappy CG. The original mangaka can't draw people.
The girls look like dudes in the show.
No, everyone looks horrible in that show.
Yeah, yeah, everyone looks horrible.
The manga looks like the manga is super detailed cars. Everything else looks terrible. He's one of those guys, if you go, I love Area 88, but the manga is terrible because the guy can't draw people. He could draw airplanes and tanks and anything war super detailed. all the characters look like horrible cartoon sketches. Yeah. And then you watch the anime and they fix those character designs.
That's
which
what
is
they
why
did with
I like
One
the
Punch
anime
Man.
For Eerie 88 so much.
Because if you see the original webcomic of One Punch Man and Mob Psycho, Mob isn't the
so
or One is not it's a great story, but Mob isn't the greatest artist, and it's very simple. He knows that. He doesn't outreach it. So with the help of one of his biggest fans, somebody from I can't remember his name, but one of the main
it's
artists.
It's the artist from Arshield 21.
Yeah, he's so good, he's able to translate it and make it that happy medium where it's not so super detailed and crazy, but all simple, and it still kind of keeps that feeling that this is one's characters. They're not perfect. Saitaman is supposed to be that one hero that looks stupid. He doesn't look like the heartthrob or the badass or the sexy kind of like long-haired mysterious bad guy.
Yet he is best husbando apparently, according to our listeners.
Hey man, he's like, okay.
Yeah, he beat out Genos.
Oh wow, that's all I have right now. I occasionally try to catch up on Dragon Ball Z Super or Dragon Ball Super when I can, especially when the Kaito Ken 10 unleashed, and I was hooked again, and I like the fact that they're keeping up that same art, because if Dragon Ball Z looked different now, I'd be upset.
Yeah. I gave up on Super a while ago. I've been thinking back and forth as to whether or not I should get back into it, but I don't know. I don't have the heart for it. I guess I'm...
Back when when Dragon Ball Super was literally, if you wanted to see new content, you had to watch the filler episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super happy with this episode so far because it seems like we have a lot of people who are ready for debate. And that's what our topic is for today. It's kind of a question that's up for debate, or it's kind of like a statement that one of our fans found from Tumblr user Badoof. Now,
yes, it's a good start.
yeah. So this is from, again, I'll say our fan Evan, who is of the non-King Baby Duck variety.
Right. So not me.
So sit down. So he brought this to my attention. He wanted to know my and everybody else's thoughts on it. So I was like, man, this is going to take way too long to discuss just on a Facebook thread. So how about we just make it an episode? Now, I think for this, we should try our best. You don't have to, but try our best to keep our statements like 1 minute segments at a time, just to be on because we're already reaching towards the end. But the topic that we have here is this statement. Anime is definitely going to be irredeemable in another 10 years if anime studios don't start immediately banding together to stop all the bad porny, fetishy, pedophilic, incest glorification, male gaze filth that the current state of anime enthusiast culture is so bent on normalizing.
That's right up my alley.
There's so much
disagree.
Oh, God.
I feel like I can just sit back and let you guys fight this one out.
Okay, so I have two aspects on this. Because on the one hand, I used to do a web series where in the early, the mid, like 2010-ish era, I was really ripping on how anime was going down a really terrible road, and I was trying so hard to warn people about, like, no, our animation quality has gone down, our character designs look terrible, our stories are crap, moe is everywhere, we must stop this, and everyone hated me for it. Other than a handful of people who agreed with my old show, except for one company that decided to kill my channel, and that company can go F-U themselves, and that's the first two initials of their name, so. Our first two letters of their name is F-U, so that's usually what I call them now. At the same time, you know, people who should be free to, look, I think, okay, here's an argument I used to have with a friend. He was like, oh my god, I love harem series, and I was like, what's the point? Hentai exists.
And, I love harem series.
I stand by that. I have zero use for harem series in my life because hentai
I think
exists.
That, I think
visual
friend...
novels exist if I need a story. You know, yeah. It's just, what's the point of me watching some guy get cock teased by, like, can I say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
you already did, so what's the point?
It'll bleep me if you have to. By, like, six girls when I could watch, you know, a guy do stuff with those six girls. So that's kind of my point of view on that. And what I don't like as the thing in anime is I like my anime, okay, you can have the panty shots, you can have the fan service Hot Springs episode or whatever, that's fine, as long as we have a good story the rest of the time. Outlaw Star has a Hot Springs episode, but the whole rest of the show is bromance shooting up aliens adventures. So, you know, I like Outlaw Star for that. And terrible animation sometimes.
One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
Although I do want to point out that there was actually some very important key elements to the story in the Hot Springs episode.
Yes.
That they actually had, and they actually had to take out the Hot Springs episode when it was on Toonami, which was on regular Cartoon Network at the time.
Yeah, yeah. So, there was this huge...
But they aired the Hot Springs episodes of Tenchi Muyo no problem whatsoever just by covering Ryoko's boobs.
Yeah.
They could have done the same thing, just saying.
And it's kind of, very important plot points are in there before they go to the Galactic Ley Line, and it just jumps. And you're like, oh, okay. And as a kid, I didn't realize that. As an adult, I'm like, wait a second, there was like... And then I saw that episode, and I was like, oh, thank you. That actually explains a lot. Thank you much.
Yeah. So, for this statement, do you actually still believe that in 10 years, anime is just going to be trash and nothing else? Like, we're going to lose everything that we have with something like One Punch Man or Attack on Titan, regardless of what your feelings are. It is a great show.
I have no hatred of Attack on Titan. Whatever made anyone think that?
Oh, some people just says no. I'm not saying you specifically, but I mean, some people are just like, oh, Attack on Titan's popular, so I hate it.
A lot of people do the whole, oh, well, this is popular, so Jared hates it kind of thing, and whatever. My anger comes from like either bad character designs or bad animation or terrible music or whatever. It's my hatred almost is exclusively either writing or aesthetics. And Attack on Titan has good writing. Its aesthetics is a minor problem. The anime fixes the manga problem of the manga characters looking all exactly the same. but the anime does fix that, and I like it. I think the only thing I have issue with Attack on Titan is just how I feel like the mainstream fandom thinks Armin behaves in the series the way he behaves in the abridged, and that drives me up the wall because Armin is like a smart tactician who's honestly my favorite character. Which I know sounds weird and whatever, and you Mikasa fans can hate me and whatever, but she's a Mary Sue, and I just don't care about Mikasa that much. But I do Eren's I'm kind of okay with too. But Armin is just such an interesting character, and then everyone's like, oh, Armin is like such a wuss, and he's crying all the time, and I'm like, when Armin has his breakdowns, they are completely justified. Thank you very much.
Yes, they are.
Everybody else should be as scared as Armin.
Yeah. And then there's those moments where they're in the cage and he's like, okay, we can take these guys by doing this, 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 this. And there's other moments where he's like, okay, guys, if we do this, 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 we got this. And I'm like, yeah, because he's a tactician, but dude, is probably shouldn't be charging in the field to face a giant monster. That doesn't seem to be his specialty. His specialty is thinking crap out.
Back on point.
Yes, on point. We have stuff that's coming back. I feel like we're going to slowly, if things can go the way they're going, with better design shows, more interesting ideas, I think we can have a revival to anime, and it would make me very happy because I don't like watching stuff and going like, well, this is fanservice-y fluff. And look, I'll admit, I love my like sexy girls beat each other up series, okay? But that shouldn't be all shows. Iki Tosen is special because it was like the one show that did that at that time, not because it was one of 12 shows that did that. And when every show is just fanservice-y fluff or a character is like super underage and unnecessarily sexualized, that does bother me as a viewer because I'm like, I don't need that in my life. Right. Thank you very much. I can watch stuff featuring adult women being sexualized. Thank you. So yeah. I think there is the chance for us to become something better. And by we, I mean not the anime community and even anime itself. And I don't think it's irredeemable. But yes, there is a dark route. And if for some reason they decide that that's the most marketable route, then yes, anime will die in about 10 years.
The darkest timeline.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're bouncing back, though. From the past couple seasons, I've been seeing some really good stuff.
Agreed.
You know, and there's less fan service this season. I have to admit, there's much less fan service. Now, John, what do you have to say?
I'd have to agree with Jared in regards to I do not, well, you guys know about me. I'm not a big fan of Kill la Kill because I feel that anime in itself is a little bit over-sexualized and completely...
It was a satire on that, though.
There's a lot of stuff from the show
I'm with you on that one.
And the fact that they actually show it on Cartoon Network, granted it is Adult Swim, but, you know, it's summertime, kids are up all night, and they can watch that. And it's not, it's an adult thing, but I feel that Anime in itself will not die out. It will remain the exact same way, unfortunately, because people are people. And I can totally agree with Jared again, because the fact that you made a post and so many people disagree with you, because there's so many people in those secret shadows who are fans of Tumblr, who love all this really deviant stuff. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, that 3D animation stuff, but more or less talking about they want to see fan service. They want to see this. They want to see that. And I feel that, you know, it's a bit too crazy. Well, let me get back on topic.
Irredeemable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do not like fan service. I do not like harem. I feel that having that stuff has cheapened the brand itself of anime. And I feel that a lot of people, when they talk about their favorite anime, or say, for instance, I brought this up on my show. If you meet a girl and for some reason the topic of anime comes up, or she says Attack on Titan, be like, oh yeah, I love anime. Or if somebody can take you saying I love anime to you being a perv. Granted, yes, their opinion doesn't mean shit to me or anyone else. Well, hopefully, but the fact that it has this negative cloud of stigma, meaning, like, you know, they automatically assume tentacles, disgusting kind of things, and they yeah, glaze over and they don't give anime a chance. I feel that it's going to remain the same amount of people, the same people watching anime now, and the same people watching harem, the same people watching anime will still continue to be that way with the growth of people in any particular category. But it's going to be very hard for them to maintain or bring in new viewers for the sheer fact that so many people can be turned off by this. If I say I love anime and they automatically think tentacles, but I'm talking about Erased, or I'm talking about like a really good drama, or even One Punch Man, they'd be like, well, I love this, but I hate anime. Well, that's anime. No, it's not. And then you have to educate them, and I don't feel that I have to educate all these people to get them to watch the show. I much rather just watch it in private and just enjoy it and not talk about it. And that shouldn't be the case. I shouldn't be ashamed of what I watch.
I just tell people that I get paid to watch it, and they leave me alone.
I'm going to say that the thing is, to whatever you'd like to call yourself at this moment's point, since I'm not supposed to use your real name, maybe? I don't know.
Just call me Oni-san. There we go.
I'm not doing that at all. But, you know, the thing is that I think there becomes an issue where people don't think of anime as a medium. They think it is like a genre, and it's a medium. It'd be like, you know, there's terrible movies, but saying I'm a fan of movies doesn't mean you like, you know, the worst of the movies. Although, you know, you look at some of my favorite movies like The Room, then, you know, you clearly...
Jared.
Person. Yeah. Dude, I love the American Ninja movies because so cheese and stupid. So, but, you know, if someone thought, oh, all movies equal American Ninja, then there's clearly a problem, because, you know, I loved watching The Revenant last year. That was a great movie, and I've seen plenty of great movies in the theaters over the years, but, you know, I was recently watching The Departed, so I had to go through that, and, you know...
I hate that movie. I really don't like that movie, actually.
Pot the car,
I fully understand that. I understand that, but for me, it's just like watching that Boston accent trailer as a full movie. And so it's one of those things where there's clearly different styles, and I think the public perception, you know, Jack might be right on that one, of it being, you know, generally negative, but I also feel that, like, people also just associate Pokemon and stuff like that, and, you know, if everyone just thinks we're watching Pokemon, yeah, that seems childish, but, you know, better than the negative alternatives.
That's a good point, because they think of Pokemon or tentacles.
Yeah. And then again, at this point, though, now we have Pokemon Go, and everybody's playing Pokemon Go. And yeah, there are people my age who are driving down the street yelling obscenities at people who are walking down the street just because they have their cell phone out. But even still, Pokemon Go is kind of leading into this new thing where people who never even watched Pokemon as a kid are still playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that in a general sense, anime was definitely different back in the day, even in the sense that you could say, you know, you guys are talking about harems and how harems are a part of the downfall of anime's irredeemability. But I think that it's just evolved into something like they have to keep... anime has to take itself and keep topping what it's done before. Like, in the past, this show was great, so we have to top that.
Yeah.
And I think, because back in the day, I love old harems. Old harems are great. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, Jared, do you like Love Hina?
I do. I cosplay as Kaitaro.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I love that show. I think it's even one of my most favorite harems, even still to this day. But the fact that you need to top it now, even still, every once in a while, we get a show like Sekirei, which is a great harem. But then again, there's shows like Sister New Devil or Trinity 7, you know, that are just there's no solid story to them. Yeah, it's just the filth, and that's honestly that's going away. If you look at my Crunchyroll queue, there's literally nothing in there that has any fan service in it whatsoever. I mean, like, sure, in New Game, the studio director has to sleep in the studio overnight because she works like 12 to 16 hours a day. So when she sleeps, she takes off her pants, and you see her panties. But and they make note of that in the show. But even still, it's the only thing that's about the show. It's not perverted. It's just cute. But I don't think that's harming the industry in any way, other than the fact that probably Tumblr is filled with just those panty shots.
Yeah, yes. Tumblr, yeah. Come at me. At TikTok on Twitter.
I think we're all, I'm with you on this, I think we're getting better quality stuff. And yes. If that doesn't make me happy, I think the fandom might be having some issues that we need to solve.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's a good point.
The quality's getting better.
I think the fandom is affecting the actual medium of anime itself. And I just want to clarify, without being a hypocrite or whatever, you know, I think that the reason why I have a small problem with harem, but more of a bigger problem with the fandom and their own art perception in doujinshin, is that I don't like the way I personally feel about it. I don't like the way it affects me. I do enjoy, like, certain random things on Tumblr in regards to like 3D and Source Filmmaker. Those are cool, but the thing is, those are separate from something that I grew up as a child. I love anime, and I like things that are certain, pure, that I can enjoy a story. I'm not talking about Naruto, but I would love to be able to share something. I can't say it enough. Sharing something like Erased with somebody, which is so different in regards to a story, that it almost could be an entire movie. And somebody automatically thinks of like sexualized things. It bothers me. So
yeah, here's something about the industry though too, is that in Japan, because we have to remember that the industry is Japan. It's not America's numbers. It's Japan's numbers.
Yeah.
In Japan, if you look at an event like Comiket, which has millions of like hundreds of thousands to millions of people going there and crowding up the district, is like it part of the industry is highly sexualized there. I mean, mm-hmm. Hell, everybody knows that sex sells in the porn industry is always booming.
Yeah.
So therefore they're taking the industry that they know and they're putting it into a market that is marketable to everybody. And that's why we are getting shows that are garbage and just sexualized in that matter, is because they know that people are watching. It's like, oh, well, they like hentai in their regular or in their private time. So how about in their regular time, we give them something sexual as well, but something that we can show on TV. So it's honestly just the same way that Hollywood BS ruins everything. You know, the industry itself is a business and you have to make money. And the only way that you make money is by selling what you know is going to sell. And in some people, the thing that's going to save the industry is people who are willing to take risks on good shows. Like, I'm sure that nobody, or very few people, I know that there are a couple people who really enjoy the show, including myself. Like, this season, a show called Orange came out, and it is a fantastic, beautiful drama series. But I think just the fact that, you know, everybody, like, it has a serious tone to it, kind of scares people away, because... Yeah. Especially in America, people still say, "Oh, cartoons; those are for kids."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I?
You know, in the same way, back in the 80s and 90s, it was with comic books. Comic books are for children. No, have you read a Batman comic? Like, some of them are terrifying. Yeah, like The Killing Joke that even just came out on DVD. That's not for children. No. Don't let the children watch that. And even in the same sense that like Deadpool came out in theaters and people were taking their kids to go see Deadpool.
You know, people are dumb.
It's It's
people
not
are stupid.
For kids.
Where's my child protective services number?
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's not for kids, and like, and but even the man children who are out there, which is a very small portion of it. And if you ever get the chance to watch the Red Letter Media video on the new Ghostbusters film where they talk about man children, is very good. I recommend it. You know, that's the industry that they attack, like, or the other people attack, which is the loudest thing that people see, which makes gives everything a bad image.
I think that people picking on the Ghostbusters movie purely because it's females is complete and utter garbage. I think that they're just a bunch of cowards. I don't want to see another Ghostbusters movie, but it, just because I don't want to see another Ghostbusters movie and I hate it, it doesn't mean I hate it because it's females or any in particular female in general.
And that's exactly what they were talking about in the Red Letter Media film. I'll actually put that video in the description because I think everybody should watch it. And if you looked at the marketing campaign, 0.08% of people who commented on the video were people who were misogynistic.
Yeah.
0.08%. Like that's where they got this campaign to market the movie for.
And which always shows you when you have to use that as your marketing campaign, you clearly have some issues.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's the same thing with the anime or that can be directly related to the anime industry because it affects America in the same way. If anything, I just admit it.
Right.
So what?
I could just be rambling. I should digress.
Because I do kind of side with Jared about like how a few years ago, like most anime was just like smutty, sex filled, fan service-y kind of crap. And I was starting to like walk away from the anime realm because of it. But
it was tough.
It is tough. But
it was tough.
But honestly, like compared to that era. And comparing it to now, where we're getting so much really good anime. Like this year alone, with anime in 2016, I'm finding it really hard to criticize almost anything that I'm watching because I've been impressed with its writing, its character development, and just its overall presentation. Like, I know in 2014, I was like, oh, this year in anime was great. And then 2015, oh, this anime year was fantastic. 2016, I'm going to find it so hard to be talking about anything negatively about anime because a lot of the stuff that I was watching was so good. And
agreed.
In regards to criticizing like anime as like kid stuff and comparing like cartoons and whatnot, like when I was watching Erased, there was an episode of Erased where I'm staring at my screen afterwards for like a few minutes. And like at that exact moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to stop watching The Simpsons and Family Guy because this is what we should be doing, but we don't have the balls to do. But in regards to what this guy's commented, what this guy said, the comment of like, they need to all team up and such to stop being so fanservice-y and pedophilic and everything. They've kind of already done that.
I agree.
If you look at anime right now in 2016, there's like barely any fanservice. And when there is, it is literally just a quick fanservice thing that you would normally see in stuff from like the late 90s, early 2000s sort of stuff. Fanservice because, hey, here's a little thing we're going to throw in there. Because you haven't seen it in the last few episodes and such.
And that's how it used to be in the old days.
Right, exactly.
And I liked it then.
In a modern sense, when you see fan service, it's actually ironically to make fun of fan service, which is in the sense of Kill la Kill. But
an anime that's self-aware. I get it.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anime that's
And I honestly think that that's what's happening, is they're starting to be hipster about it and they're starting to do everything ironically.
Okay, I guess the one little thing I wanted to bring up as the next point is part of the marketability of anime is selling the figures, the merchandise, the toys. You know, stuff like Pretty Cure, it sells a crap ton of, you know, wands and tacks and upgrades and figures and whatever. You know, I'm a fan of, you know, certain idol series that, you know, have, here's the 16 variations of the girls. And, you know, a lot of those things, though, even in the figures, yes, you'll find your sexualized figures still, but I think I'm seeing a lot of my figures just be, you know, you were talking about What's-Her-Face from Food Wars, having just like a cute, holding her ladle and just being cute kind of thing. we're back to getting those style of figures, I think, more so than the I'm going to bend over and show you my boobs figures. Like, we used to have a lot more of those, you know, 5 or so years ago.
They still have plenty of
those. They do have plenty of those. I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying that, like, I'm seeing a resurgence of the cutesy anime girl statues that I can have up 365 days a year, that if my mom comes by and she sees my figure collection, she's like, oh my, what is this? She's like, oh, she's right. cute, and she's cute, and she's cute, and that's better. Do I have my fan servicey figures? Of course I do. Do I pull them out every once in a while? Of course I do. But my mainstays right now are from Idol series and from Kantai collection, and while there are the sexualized Kantai figures, the ones I have out currently are not, so...
Right.
I'm just saying that there is, you're seeing a title shift. It's just a slow title shift.
Agreed. So, okay. So consensus, anime is going to be okay.
Yep. Yeah. Anime is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. It's the American aspect of cartoons that I'm worried about more.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, God, so Evan, you and I could go on forever on that one.
That's a whole nother episode completely. with that being said, I am shamelessly looking forward to swimsuits and butt bumping in Keijo next season.
Yeah, that's going to be funny. Because I feel like that's a show that is going to be more of a parody of fan service.
With that, I think that it's time to move on to some fan service, and then we'll move on to some shameless plugging for our shows, and then we'll wrap it up. So, I actually only have one bit of fan service from somebody, from one of our fans, Mike, who already gave us news earlier. He sent us the Gantz thing, but he also wanted to point out that, anime series, there's an exclusive anime series coming to Netflix now called Blame. And that was an early 2000.
Wait, based off the manga from like forever ago?
Yeah, like they had an early 2000s anime, on it too. And I don't know whether or not this is going to be like a sequel series or a continuation. It was like a cyberpunky kind of series,
yeah.
But there's going to be an exclusive Netflix series for it. So I don't know whether or not it's going to be a reboot or a continuation. I don't know. We'll have to check it out when it comes through. But that's a really big news. I also want to throw out a big thank you to Mike too, by the way, because he's been schooling us in the art of reblogging on Tumblr. He's been sending us like these awesome gift sets and everything that he's been throwing out for us to put up on our page, and we've been getting a lot more hits than normally. And he knows what's up. He knows what's trending.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, everything that we did for fan service was in the show. So if you guys want to weigh in. I'll start on the shameless plugs right now. If you guys want to weigh in on this topic of the anime industry being saved, do we only have another 10 years of anime before it's all garbage and we all stop watching? I don't think so, but what do you think? I think that there were a lot of really good points thrown around here today, and I don't think we could have had a better cast for this discussion, personally. So you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook. You can find all of our news stories and all of our posts there. Follow us on Facebook.com/WickedAnime, and you can find everything there. Our main hub of everything is on NerdyShow.com, where you can listen to our podcast. And our videos, which you can find our videos on YouTube.com/WickedAnimeReviews. Please subscribes to us so that we can keep making awesome videos. There are plenty in the works that I'm going to be able to put out more in the near future because I got a new job. Sweet. Also, if you're not listening to us on Nerdy Show, you can find us on SoundCloud for our podcast. iTunes, which please rate and review. It'll get us more traction so people will listen to us. You can find us on Audioboom, Google Play, a whole bunch of, if you look up podcasts, we're probably there. Then on our social medias, besides Facebook, you can also find us at Tumblr, tweet us at YoWickedAnime, and Tumblr, wickedanime.tumblr.com. It's a garbage heap. This is where this whole discussion came from in the first place. So, next up for shameless plugging, Evan, why don't you spit your rap?
All right. So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show No Borders, No Race, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa-sensei for her Nazo Nazo Nyango segments, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on the video games, anime, and J-pop aminos at KingBabyDuckESH.
Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And for all your other sites under the Land of Esh, you can go to Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Nerd Crave, and Smashed Rook. And just to give a heads up to all you listeners out there, the next anime convention you'll find me at is at another anime convention in Manchester, New Hampshire on October 14th through 16th. So,
oh yeah.
If you see
yeah,
me
we're there, gonna, we're trying to get into that too. Yeah,
yes. Sweet. So, if you see me there in a couple months, be sure to say hi.
Absolutely. All right, Jared, you're next up in the order of Skype icons. You go ahead. Where can the people find you?
Okay, you can find a lot of stuff from me on scarletrapsody.com. We recently had our Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con coverage. It's on there. Our Sailor Moon Day LA information and coverage will be up there pretty soon. And of course, I just recently had a new article in the CPO and I Know It category, which is about nerdy sexuality. As for me myself, you can always get me up on Twitter at JaredTheGreek, where I usually post stuff about video games or about something on YouTube I just watched. My Tumblr is jaredthegreek.tumblr.com, where I post comic reviews and occasionally anime reviews or movie reviews. And you can see us streaming Secret Stage Games. We're on the Hitbox and the Twitch and the YouTube. So, Secret Stage Games.
And finally, John.
Can I do the convention thing too, since Evan did? I'm going to be at this weekend, assuming this comes out before this con starts. I will be at Otakon in Baltimore. And then in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'll be at Anime California. I will be doing no panels at Baltimore, but I'll be hanging out, rocking Jotaro and Giovanni. And at Anime California, I'll be doing several panels, including a panel on Steven Universe, Lupin the Third, and Saturday morning cartoons. So check it out.
Totally jelly. John, what do you got?
Hi, listener. Hi. I know you're hearing my voice. I just want to let you know that you need to worry about your character, not your reputation, because your character is who you are. Your reputation is who people think you are. So always remember that. You can find me on Twitter at DigTaka. I do videos and live stream on youtube.com/dirtyissues. We are the secondary channel for the House FOP. That's Friends of Phil. You can also reach my co-host at Dirty Locks. Shout out to us. I'm always constant on Twitter. My Instagram is DigTaka. I make cosplay costumes. I would say cosplay costume masks or cosplay masks. I just finished up with making a alteration to the Ant-Man. I made a Red Hood. I'm working on an Arkham Knight. And I also made a Destiny Hunter.
Nice.
And I do a bunch of other crazy things. I'm also a photographer. I will be at Boston Comic Con, hopefully before this podcast comes out, maybe during this week. So look for me and my crew. We are going out as the Civil War Captain America crew. I will be Spider-Man. And you have Captain America, you have Hawkeye, you have Black Panther, and you also have Ant-Man. Any business inquiries, or whatever you want to call that, for cosplay mask or photography stuff, please go to Kataman2, KATAMEN2.com, or Kataman2 at iCloud.com for any questions, comments, or whatnot. If you want a commission, let me know.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today on the Wicked Anime Podcast. And thank you, listeners, for listening. I hope you come back to listen to us for another episode. Man, we are getting so close to episode 100, aren't we?
Woohoo!
Yeah. So there's going to be something huge for that, and I'm sure that we'll be talking about it very soon. That's it for now. It's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
And just as a side note, you know who could have taken a note from iShield 21's artist? The artist of iShield 21, the anime.
Yeah.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like, and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.